Hello and welcome back to the Digital Adoption Podcast. As always, my name is Sean Boyce, and the guest I have here with me today is Eric Kimberling from Third Stage Consulting. Eric is the founder and CEO of Third Stage Consulting, where they offer global digital transformation services. Eric and his team help companies get the most out of some of the largest software systems in the world. He's a keynote speaker and an author of Lessons from 1,000 Digital Transformations. Hello, Eric, and thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And 1,000 digital transformations, that sounds like a lot. That must have taken a while.
It is a lot. Sometimes people will ask, you know, if it took you a year or two for each one, you know, how could you possibly have done that, you know, within 2,000 years?
There's lots of lifetimes, right?
It is a lot of lifetimes, but our team collectively and my involvement across different projects has spanned well over 1,000.
Very cool. So for our listeners, please detail for us what Third Stage Consulting is and what type of work do you guys do?
Sure. So we're an independent consulting firm. We specialize in helping clients select and implement ERP, HCM, and CRM software. So we agnostically help clients through their digital transformation journeys, ranging from helping define digital strategy and software evaluation and selection all the way through implementation, project management, and organizational change management as well.
Very cool. And what type of software systems do you typically work with when doing that work?
It is all over the place. So given that we are independent and we work with a pretty broad, diverse set of clients, the types of systems we work with range from the typical systems that everyone's heard of, like SAP, S/4HANA, and Oracle, ERP Cloud, Microsoft E365. Especially for our larger and more global companies, those are pretty common systems that we either help evaluate and or help clients implement. But when you start to get into specific industry verticals and niches, there's a lot of different tier two, tier three, and industry focused best of breed solutions that we work with as well. But it's a lot of different solutions, and the whole idea and the value that we bring is the fact that our agnostic approach will work, you know, regardless of what system or systems you might be considering or trying to implement.
Nice. And do you guys specialize in any particular type of industry verticals?
No, but there are industries that we tend to gravitate towards or that clients tend to gravitate toward us. Manufacturing distribution, for example, is an area where we have quite a bit of experience. I think part of that is just because I kind of grew up in that space. So it tends to be a language I speak and a lot of people on our team speak a little bit more fluently. But having said that, you have such a broad team, and now that we're expanding internationally, especially, we have a lot of different verticals we work with, such as financial services and architecture and design, construction, consumer products, food and beverage is a pretty common one. We're even starting to see a lot more government and nonprofit types of client base as well.
Gotcha. Plenty of diversity there. I'm sure you stay busy.
Yeah. Well, and every client's different too. In any given industry, even if you're in one vertical, you look at different companies within the same vertical and you can have two clients that look completely different. So it's definitely an interesting profession for sure.
Good point. So talk to me a little bit about what is meant by, like, how you would define digital transformation and what that involves in particular.
Yeah, so that it's a term that I used to dislike heavily. I feel like it was a big buzzword that was really vague. And so rather than fighting the term, just because it's become so common, we've kind of decided to embrace it and give it our own definition of what we think it means. And I think the key term or the key word within digital transformation is the second word, which is transformation. And the digital piece of it obviously is important with ERP and HCM, ERP systems, you know, PLM systems or manufacturing systems, all different types of technologies can fit that digital category. And the technology piece of it is not easy necessarily, but the harder part of a implementation or any sort of transformation is the actual transformation. And so really focusing on the business process, the operational improvements, the organizational changes, ensuring the people and the employees within the organization are helping enable some of the transformation. That people and process component of the transformation to me is what really sets apart digital transformation in the way we define it from your traditional or historically common ERP implementation or you know, a more simple or a simplistic technology upgrade.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'd love to know from your perspective, at what point do you guys get involved in the process, and what is typically involved? What are the larger steps, and then what does that require from your team, and what does that require from the customers that you work with?
Yeah, so the steps involved typically, we're seeing more and more of this where the early stages of the project are becoming more refined and more robust. And what I mean by that is it used to be, 10 years ago doing this, it used to be pretty straightforward or a little more common in terms of clients would just come to us and say, hey, we need a new ERP system and we want you to help us select and implement a new ERP system. That still happens occasionally. We still have a fair number of clients that come to us with a fairly, kind of predefined notion of what their digital transformation is going to look like. But what we're seeing more of now is companies that say, well, actually, we don't know what we want or what we need. We need you to help us figure out what our overall strategic alternatives are and what our roadmap should look like and how we could agnostically evaluate our different paths and really just provide that independent, unfiltered view of what a client could do and what their options are. And that's really where we add a lot of the value is we're not here to sell software. And sometimes it doesn't make sense for a client to deploy software, which sounds like blasphemy, being an ERP consultant, or it may sound like blasphemy. But what we end up helping our clients with is helping figure out, what does the status quo look like? Maybe status quo isn't a viable option, but rolling out a big, huge ERP system, a monolithic ERP system may not be the answer either. And maybe that, there's point technologies you could be rolling out, or process improvements might give you more value at a lower risk and lower cost. Could be that there's organizational improvements or enhancements to your existing systems, or, all different types of options. We help clients through that digital strategy. So that's the first step that a lot of clients hire us for, is to help define the digital strategy, which then may lead into more of a narrow or more of a focused technology evaluation and selection process, in which case we would help define the business requirements in more detail and help consider the different options and evaluate the different options as it relates to the client's requirements. And then at which point we'd give a recommendation and help them with negotiations. So that whole digital strategy software selection is kind of the next step that we often help clients with. And another area that's sort of the next step in the transformation journey that we help clients with is then the implementation readiness. So we've picked our technology, we know what our roadmap is, but now we've got to figure out, how do we mobilize the team? How do we define what we want our processes to look like in the future? How do we start building out our change management plan to support that transformation? So that whole readiness phase, the implementation readiness phase from the time the technology is selected until it's the implementation starts in earnest. And then during the actual implementation, there's really two threads that we help clients with primarily. One is the overall program management and the quality assurance, just to make sure the client is enabled and empowered to manage the system integrator and VAR and manage all the internal resources and keep things on track and also mitigate risks along the way. And then the second thing is the organizational change and adoption piece of it, which is just helping clients, the people side of the equation, which most system integrators and software vendors don't do well, but is an area we do really well in helping clients. So I've kind of rattled off maybe five areas that we help clients with. Some clients hire us for all five of those areas. Some will hire us just for more a la carte for specific help along the way. And there's a lot of in between as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned being getting involved earlier on in the projects. Do you appreciate that as an approach? Because I can imagine, as opposed to getting called in to kind of put out a fire, it's probably a little bit more advantageous to have kind of the control in the beginning to be able to give them that expertise, which helps them start off on the right foot.
Yeah, absolutely. I personally enjoy the work. A lot of our team enjoys that type of work, just because it's just, as a consultant, it's pretty rewarding to think big picture and to think outside the box and not be constrained by any one specific path or one specific predefined answer. But more importantly for our clients, there's a lot of value and a lot of time and money that's saved later on by having that clear, deliberate strategy up front. There's too often, you mentioned the fire drill phenomena. There's too often times clients will think they have a fire drill that requires them or necessitates that they just rush right into some sort of solution. So For example, you'll get clients that are on a legacy version of an old on-premise system that's being replaced or being sunset by the vendor. And they've got, call it 3 or 5 years, whatever the number is, 3 or 5 years to get off that system because it's not going to be supported anymore. And they've got to either upgrade with that vendor or go look for something else. And so there's almost like a too much urgency in their actions for where they just jump straight in and just, let's just go pick a new system and start implementing it versus taking that time to really map out, you know, what is it you're trying to accomplish? How do we get aligned as a team on what that project should look like? And then what are strategic alternatives? What are the cost benefits and risks of those different alternatives? And then have a clearly defined path with internal alignment on that path so that then when we do decide to go forward, we've defined what that alternative and path forward looks like. And we've also got alignment internally, which speeds things up quite a bit later on. So it's actually, it's kind of a counterintuitive thing where it may seem like you're taking extra time in the process by doing this, but actually it speeds things up quite a bit later on and run into quite a lot less issues than you would otherwise.
That certainly makes sense. And I could see how as major announcements come out about some of the larger software systems out there, that you like the demand could potentially come in waves, I'm sure. Like you said, that sense of urgency once like a system is determined to be coming like end of life or has a major replacement coming, maybe it's moving from desktop to cloud or something like that. Does a lot of the demand for your service change around kind of those big milestones? Like will you find out about, you know, what's coming market-wise from kind of the life cycle of these different products with regard to kind of the also matching a demand for your service as well?
Yeah, it definitely does. In fact, with most of the leading ERP vendors now kind of moving into, cloud migration or moving their flagship products to the cloud somewhat in parallel or synchronized ways, there are some vendors that obviously have, you know, a head start on it, have always been in the cloud, or maybe they got started on it earlier. But when you look at SAP, Oracle, Microsoft, for example, they're all pretty much moving to the cloud at the same time, and they're doing it in parallel. And so you're seeing a lot of companies that are seeing that and saying, wow, you know, everyone's in the cloud and we're still on premise. And we should probably think about what, you know, how we, you know, get in on the cloud movement. So you are seeing more and more of that. It's probably not, you know, a big burst all at once, but it's kind of like a steady trickle that's increasing, you know, the spigot's opening up, you know, as you get further down the line here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Another thing I was going to ask you about too is what are you seeing in terms of trends in digital adoption in your space?
Yeah, so, you know, cloud is certainly one of them. You know, having cloud solutions, that's probably the biggest one, the one that most people are aware of, at least on the surface. But in terms of adoption, you know, I think when you think about digital adoption, you know, I think the key word you mentioned is adoption. How do we get people on board? And I think that's an area, this isn't necessarily I don't know if it's a trend or more of an observation of something that's a concerning trend in the industry, which is that, you know, with the advances in technology, with the cloud and artificial intelligence and Internet of Things and predictive analytics and customer experience, you know, there's all these buzzwords and technologies and things that are really pretty big improvements in some of the technologies out there. There's a lot of, not misdirection, but I'd say too much focus on the technology itself versus how do we get people to adopt to these new processes. And just because the technology exists doesn't mean we should roll it out, doesn't mean people will adapt to it. And so really just focusing on what is it we need as a business, what makes sense for us, you know, forget the trends, forget the what other companies are doing. Let's just look at what we need and then figure out which of those trends apply to us. And more importantly, or most importantly, how do we get people to adopt to the new path forward and the new technologies and that sort of thing. So I think the big thing is just people, I worry and I see a concerning trend that people are too focused on the technology because it's becoming more complex and more robust and it does more stuff and it's more to learn, but we're not spending enough time on our own employees and just making sure that we bring them along for the journey.
That's a really good point. I mean, I think it's easy to gravitate towards like what's trending in the space, but that might not necessarily be the best application to solve the real problem. Like you said, adoption is the key. I mean, that's what we're trying to achieve ultimately in the end here. So if you could spend a few minutes talking about what the critical focus should be in order to try to achieve this digital adoption that we're talking about, right? As you are in the process of making that transformation and you need to train a workforce on using a completely different system, so what's critical to know and what's important to make sure that you hit on as part of that process to give it the best chance of success?
Sure. It's a great question. I think the first thing is almost acknowledgement or acceptance that adoption is going to be difficult. And one of the false promises, if you will, of cloud technology is that it's easier to use, it's more intuitive, it's more in tune with using Facebook or social media or the consumer technologies we're used to. So therefore, it's going to be easy for your employees to adopt. And that's simply not true. I mean, there certainly, if it has a similar user interface, okay, great. That part makes it easier. But the hard part for people isn't whether or not it's a cloud technology or on-premise or whatever the case may be. It's the fact that their processes and their jobs are changing. So that's the first thing, is just recognition that even though cloud has advanced technologies in a lot of cool ways, and it may make it easier to install software because now you don't have to take CD-ROMs and implement on servers in your own office, that part has gotten easier from a cloud perspective. But the actual adoption, I would argue, has not gotten easier. And for some organizations, it's actually gotten harder because these are such big jumps in technology from what they have today. So I think the first step is acknowledgement, acceptance. The second step is to view adoption not so much as a key milestone that just happens right before go live, or either happens or it doesn't at go live, but rather a journey that starts well before go live and continues well after go live. And I think that's an important part of it too. Too many companies just say, well, for the first, call it 18 months of our project, if it's an 18-month implementation, we're going to spend the first 16 months doing all the technical stuff, design, configuration, testing, and then those last 2 months, that's where we're going to work on adoption. We're going to get people trained and do a train-the-trainer approach or whatever. And if you wait till then, there's two problems with that. If you wait till then, it's too late. That's not enough time to move people along and move the needle of your culture and your expected roles and responsibilities. You need to start that way sooner. So that's the first problem. That should be running in parallel for the entire duration of your project, that whole adoption piece of it. And it's an iterative approach. It's something you're continuously reinforcing over time. And then it doesn't stop when you go live. It continues after that too. So I think those are the two biggest things, is acknowledgement that adoption is hard, and also stop acting like adoption is a one-time milestone that happens at the end of your project. It's something that should happen throughout and then beyond that as well.
I totally get a kick out of you mentioning that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm thinking it from the perspective of, what do you mean? Isn't digital adoption, isn't it like flipping a switch? We're just going to be there one day, right?
It's definitely
less of a destination and more of a journey, like you said. So you've got to be continuously preparing yourself for that.
Yeah. And if you're an executive, let's say you're a CIO or CFO, and you're thinking about a cloud-based solution, SaaS-based, multi-tenant solution, subscription-based, where you or I could literally go on the website right now, use our login credentials, and we've got full access to the entire suite of software. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to install the software. We didn't have to configure anything. We've got a working live version of the software. So that simplicity on the technology side leads a lot of companies to think, well, this is pretty easy. I flip the switch, it's on. But getting people to actually use it and getting them to use the technology in a way that actually improves your processes and delivers value, that's a whole different story. And that's, 95% of the challenge is that. But we focus on that 5% because that's the thing we can see and touch and feel right in front of us, is the technology I'm looking at right now looks pretty easy, but yet I can't see or touch or feel the whole adoption thing. That's just kind of a vague, nebulous thing that's out here kind of in the background. I don't really know how to measure it. So the more we can do to make adoption tangible, that's one way to get past that human dynamic of wanting to oversimplify it.
I think that's really well said. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those points for sure. So a lot of great content, Eric. I really appreciate you being here. A couple more questions I have for you. Number one would be, what resources would you share with myself and the audience of and related to digital transformation or digital adoption?
Sure. So it's an area we're passionate about. I'm passionate about it. Our team's passionate about it. And we're constantly putting out thought leadership and white papers and YouTube videos on the topic. So I encourage you to, if you go to our website at thirdstage.com, third-consulting.com. And third, in third stage, is spelled out T-H-I-R-D, stage-consulting.com. You'll find our blogs, white papers. You can download my book, The Lessons from 1,000 ERP Implementations, there as well. And then if you search for me on YouTube, you'll find my YouTube channel too. I put out 2 videos a week just on digital transformation, digital adoption, anything related to digital transformation. So those are 2 free resources that are out there for your listeners.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And I've seen a lot of that content and it's excellent. So thank you for sharing those. I'll include the links in the notes for the show as well too. And then last question I have for you is, who should reach out to you and how can they get in touch?
Sure. So I'm a big believer in just sharing knowledge and brainstorming and just having informal conversations that may or may not lead to, you know, more formalized, you know, client relationships. It's what I've done my entire career, and I love helping people. So even if it's a matter of just, hey, I've got a couple questions, or I'm struggling with X, Y, or Z on my project, you know, can you give me some pointers? I'm happy to do it. They can reach out to me. My email address is eric@thirdstage-consulting.com. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. And if I can't answer the questions for you, I can put you in touch with someone who can. And like I said, we can just be a sounding board or brainstorm ideas or challenges you might be going through with your transformation.
I'd be surprised if there's any questions Eric can answer, especially from 1,000 digital transformations.
You're always learning something though. Every 1,001st one looks a lot different.
So. Good point. Well put. Well, thank you so much for being here, Eric. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with the with myself and the audience.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Digital Adoption Podcast powered by Next Step. If you or anyone you know specializes in learning and development for software or digital adoption, please have them reach out to us to learn more about being a guest on our show. To learn more, email me at sean@nextstep.io. That's sean@nextstep.io. Thanks and keep adopting. We'd like to take this time to thank the sponsor of our show, Next Step Consulting. Want to know what the right next steps are for your B2B SaaS business? Are you trying to scale and reach the next level, but you're stuck? We can help. To learn more about how Next Step can help your business reach its goals, email me at sean@nextstep.io. That's sean@nextstep.io, or visit us on the web at nextstep.io.